Welcome to ArtCast. I'm Brian Prince. I'm an architect evangelist with Microsoft. I talk with users in the community and customers in the field about how they're using our technology. And I found Quick Solutions. They're doing some great agile work with SharePoint, helping businesses leverage all the intellectual property they have in Excel using SharePoint Excel services. So welcome, guys. Why don't we do some introductions?
Well, my name is Philip Jordan, and I'm a software developer here at Quick Solutions.
I'm Jim Holmes. I'm the studio lead of the Information Worker Studio here at Quick. I'm an active member of the Heartland developer community, and I'm also a MVP for C#.
So your studio here at Quick, you do a lot of SharePoint-centric solutions, and you play an architect many times. And you see some pretty common scenarios around Excel in businesses. Why don't you tell me what that is?
One would be that, you know, Excel's been around forever since stone tablets, and there's a lot of business processes that are already worked out in Excel. Users have been very comfortable with Excel. They get a lot of complex formulas in there to model their business, a lot of data. And if you want to take that and skin that in some type of a custom app, smart client, web app, whatever, there's a lot of risk involved with taking these existing business rules and getting them built again in this custom environment. So business rules are always a high-risk part of our industry. So if we could do something that would let us stay with those Excel rules, that would be really a good thing.
And it's even more than rules, because Excel is often used for analysis, numerical computation, financial
planning. That's what I meant by that.
Yeah, I mean, so we're not saying, you know, if they're a silver member, give them a 10% discount.
Right.
We're talking about, you know, complex product combinations, complex pricing mechanisms, financial analysis, pulling data in from other places and kind of crunching it, those sorts of scenarios, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So architects, you know, we have one foot in the business world and one foot in the technology world. We need to look at the challenges and opportunities that the business world has and understand our technology to know what we can field when, really to solve a lot of business problems or to maybe provide a lot of business opportunities. So how do you, knowing that, how do you bring that to the table when you're in this type of scenario with a customer?
As far as the value that different tools can bring?
Yeah. So like we have a lot of different constraints and options available to us. Mm-hmm. We're, as an architect, they call up and say, I have an Excel spreadsheet with a lot of intellectual property in it or a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in the model. I need to deploy that out to my users somehow. Do something magical, geek guy.
And that's why we're here.
are you asking what are our options?
Yeah, so what, okay. So you know, what goes through your mind as an architect? You have to look at the different options and kind of weigh them. And what are the things you need to take into account in these sorts of scenarios?
One of the more obvious things that comes to mind immediately as a software developer is, I'll build a custom application.
Right, so developers love to write code.
Right, yes.
And some of them suffer from non-invented here syndrome, right?
Yeah.
So we want to write code.
Right.
And so how would you build that? So, Phil, I have this complex financial model in Excel. Put that on the web for me. I want it secure. I want it always available. I want to protect my intellectual property.
When you start to dig into it and you're pretty much, you find that you're reinventing Excel or at least the functionality that Excel offers the end user. Mm-hmm. And it's not a very glamorous solution, or at least not in every situation, depending on what you're looking at.
So it's not a trivial application to write.
Certainly not.
Certainly not. You definitely have a team of people to build it.
Right.
Developers, testers, things like that. So some of the pros are you get ultimate control over what you're doing. Right. What are some of the cons?
Well, if the business process changes or the IP changes in any way, depending on how you architected your application, that can have major impacts. And even if it doesn't have major impacts, there's probably a lot of sophistication that had to be built in to your application to allow that type of flexibility. That's more time, more effort, and ultimately more money.
And I think that's why users love to do this modeling in Excel, is it's a blank sheet of paper. I'm not constrained by really anything, and I can build the model however I want. And tomorrow I may have a completely different way to solve that business problem for my customer with a completely new model, which would, in the first scenario, require me to write a whole bunch of new code probably. Right? We don't want to try to execute Excel on the server. That's just not good. Don't ever go there, ever. But so what are the other options? What can SharePoint do for us? Since we're talking to SharePoint people, I'm guessing it has a way to solve this problem.
It does. Excel Services is a component of the enterprise line of SharePoint. And that brings a number of features to the table, one of which is that you can make use of the Excel Web Access web part to really load up a Excel sheet that you've hosted as part of the SharePoint site, or maybe even out on a file share someplace. And then there are some other things that you can do with it as well.
So let's talk about SharePoint first. The advantage of using SharePoint as a platform over writing custom code is what?
Plumbing. I don't have to do any...
So we don't have to be a plumber.
We don't have
that's
to be
important.
A plumber. That's very important. I don't have to... You still have to worry about these things, but things like scalability, availability, security, and all these other things are already handled by the infrastructure that SharePoint brings to the table. So... I don't have to spend a lot of time developing that, but some of that rolls off onto the IT side of the house now, because you have to deal with, you know, do I need to integrate this to Active Directory or some other security provider? Is this going outside of the firewall? But those are more kind of coordination issues rather than me telling Phil what to write.
Right. So, and the organization may already have SharePoint deployed.
Yes.
Right? So you just really can leverage all of that work. And all of that infrastructure.
Yeah.
So Excel Services, how does that work? Is this just Excel ActiveX in a browser? I mean, what is it? What does it do?
Well, it's a server-side component that handles a lot of the same functionality that you would have in Excel. It's not Excel. It's a server-side version that handles concurrency very well and deals with all of most of the issues that you would want to address with a spreadsheet without actually firing up an instance of Excel, which does not handle concurrency well and can have major issues on a in a server scenario.
So it's a way for me to publish an Excel spreadsheet onto a SharePoint page.
Well, and manipulate it.
And manipulate it. So the end user can manipulate it. So that allows me to publish a spreadsheet to the web. Gives me reach to my spreadsheet, gets other users able to hit it, right? But how does that protect my intellectual property, my secret magic formula?
Well, when it comes to displaying data or anything of that nature, you have the option to, Excel Services provides you with the ability to show a snapshot of that data, which does not include hidden spreadsheets, or any of the formulas associated with that, anything that might fall into intellectual property in general.
So they can interact with the numbers and the results of the calculations, but they can't go into a cell and see the formula that's in the cell and tune it for their own
purposes? Not if you don't want them to.
Okay. All right. So how long does it take to... What's the level of effort given an existing SharePoint infrastructure to deploy a normal spreadsheet?
I think one of the key things here is if you want to host just kind of a read-only spreadsheet that, you know, is maybe a report or something like that, that's really a trivial thing. Get something up to a library, build a page with the web part on it, connect the two together, poof, you're done. So literally, a business analyst or a power user could get that done in hours.
So they could kind of self-provision.
Absolutely, and that's kind of one of the cool things about much of SharePoint is that you can kind of push down some of that basic, you know, that basic work to people other than developers, which is handy.
So what we like to say is empowering the information workers to kind of...
Yes, you can empower the information workers, the business analysts, you know, the business people,
right.
Whatever.
And you give them so to turn that cheesy stuff off. But we give them, as architects, the agility for the business to go where it needs to go.
Yes.
Without our technology slowing them down, because that happens quite often.
Yes. Now, if you want to take it a step further, which is something that we've done, and you want to build, say, a more interactive user experience, you're still doing web development and some regular GUI development behind, but that is a matter of, say, building some input fields, getting some interaction between the EWA and Excel services, but that's kind of a matter of weeks, weeks for one person rather than a team for months doing custom app development.
So that I think that's really key right there, because as architects, we do need to focus on keeping IT agile, because the business tends to be more agile than we are.
Yeah.
Even though we tend to be change agents, it turns out we end up getting in the way. So we're going to make them more agile, and so my time to value is weeks versus many, many months. When you think of a team, four people for 3 months, that's 12 months of effort,
yeah,
right? Versus a couple of weeks for one person. And is this, in that scenario, is that really complex code you're writing, or what do you need to do in that scenario?
Well, you're really just talking between the EWA session of the workbook and Excel services. Excel services is going to do a lot of the work for you.
And the EWA is the Excel Web Access web part that you drop onto a SharePoint web part page, and that's what hosts or renders the Excel sheet.
Okay.
I mean, there is some code, but it's, that's why it's a couple weeks effort.
Okay.
Nothing terribly complex.
So I'm the user, I'm in the browser, I've got my financial model for the month. I need to print it off, maybe put my logo on it, maybe customize a little bit, but you've locked it down in the browser. So what do? Screen capture? Put it in Word?
Well, that's kind of a limitation of the EWA and Excel services. It doesn't support certain things like images and things of that nature, but you still have the option to reinsert those back into the workbook before you stream it out to a client.
So streaming out to a client?
So they have a local copy of the workbook. Let's say for whatever reason they need to take it to a customer to present a proposal, or it depends on your business scenario. They might need a local copy. Maybe it just gives them warm and fuzzy feelings to have a local copy. Sometimes you'll want to put branding on that and other things that just aren't supported in Excel services. You have the option to use the System.io packaging classes to reinsert that information.
And so this is this is custom code that you're writing behind the scenes.
Right.
So you've got your EWA, you've got your page, somebody's ready to go, they'll click a button, you can capture that event, and you get that workbook copy that you've been working with, and at that point then you've got that as an object in memory. Can crack that open, like Phil said, and at that point then write custom code to get images back in there or VBScript and really manipulate the workbook and then drop it down to the client. And you know, something else that we missed, another important benefit of Excel services is that you don't need Excel on your client. All of that stuff's hosted through the browser, so you may have somebody who doesn't have Excel 2007 on their workstation. Doesn't matter. They open up a browser, and they get the latest and greatest from your site. They might not have any version of Excel. And if you need to do the snapshot to bring something down, you can get the Excel Viewer, which is a very lightweight little app, and install that locally. They don't need Office. They don't even need Excel. There's a viewer that will pop that open and let them print that locally. Good point.
Okay.
So there's no licensing around that.
So that works in great scenarios where maybe I'm a franchise owner. I mean, a company that has franchise owners, and they have, let's say, fast food locations all over the United States with an aging computer with a slow modem propped on top of a pizza can sauce or a can of pizza sauce in the back room somewhere.
Right.
And they need to get some numbers to tell them how to staff for the week or what, you know, products they need to order for the food shipment or something like that.
Yep.
That makes it very easy, right? Zero expectations on the
HTML
client.
HTML and JavaScript. You know, as long as you have those capabilities, which most people do, they can view complex data and these complex spreadsheets.
Okay. So I can ask for a snapshot, and I get the whole original spreadsheet when I get that?
No, the snapshot is the IP-protected version of that. There are no formulas, no hidden sheets, and all of that kind of stuff is removed from it. It's not really a functional spreadsheet at that time, but it does have the figures from all the calculations.
The visible surface data.
Yes, it's kind of exactly. The rendered view okay. of that.
And so what you were explaining was you can inject, when I make that request, you can write code that injects other stuff into that spreadsheet before the user gets it.
Right, because Excel Services, in its current release, doesn't support a certain set of features. One of those is you can't have images in a spreadsheet that you host. Comments, you can't have VBScript. There are a number of other things. So you have to sanitize the sheet that you're publishing.
Okay.
But, you know, out on the other end, if you're using, you know, if you want this as a report or something, then you probably need some graphics. Now, graphs and charts are still supported in there.
Okay.
But it's just images that you want to have, say, for a cover sheet or something like that. Not dynamic things, but just good old images.
Right. And so with OpenOffice XML and the, what was the namespace you worked with, system.io.
Packaging.
Right. You can inject images back into that, kind of knowing what the template should be.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. And you can even do other more complex things if you want to get into, you know, working with some more complex APIs.
Okay, so this injecting thing. So a couple of weeks to get a normal spreadsheet out. Now I want to get fancy with putting images into it when they stream it down. How extra much time does that take?
Well, there again, I would say that's that task itself is a week to 2 weeks. You know, once you and as you get better at it, that of course would go down. But
yeah. So you have an interesting story. I love this story. How you guys figured out, when there wasn't a lot on the internet to tell you how to do this, to get this injecting into the streaming working. Do you want to tell that story?
Well, yeah, we were having an issue. We needed images on the spreadsheet that we were sending down. And so eventually we hit on the idea of using the packaging classes to re-inject those images, looking at a comparison of what changed in the file.
The original spreadsheet.
Versus the one that we had removed the images on, and looking at the XML files, because you can do that manually, and just seeing what changed, what was different. So we were knee-deep in that, and then I'll let you tell your part.
Well, as part of our investigation for solving this, we'd found a couple, not complete roadblocks, but there were a couple big hurdles that we had to get over with some kind of the mechanics of how the stream worked and a couple other things. Talked it over. Phil had some good ideas. We figured out the approach to get past that. And I go out to Redmond for the MVP Summit. And I go into one of the sessions they had there on Excel Services. And I'm literally, I have an IM window open to Phil, and we're discussing some of the issues and the workarounds, and I'm checking his progress, and he's doing well, and we're getting past this.
It's your daily stand-up.
Yeah, it's our daily stand-up. While somebody's up on the screen giving a demo of something. I look up from my IM window, and here's a person demonstrating the exact functionality that Phil is working on right now. So they've uploaded a spreadsheet. They click a button. They pull it down. He cracks it open. He opens it up, and there are images in a spreadsheet. I'm like, wait a minute. Well, after that session got done, I actually had a chance to talk with the developer that built that solution that they were demoing. And it was really nice because I said, you know, we're trying to do the same thing. Here are the two problems that we've identified. Here's the workaround. And he agreed with what we were doing. So it was really nice because he validated our whole approach. He's like, yep, you're doing everything right, and here are some things. Oh, yeah, well, we addressed those. It's good to go. So it was just really cool that our whole approach that Phil had come up with, and, you know, I just kind of said, yeah, that works, was validated by somebody on the Excel Services team.
Yeah, because there's always the concern when you're doing something new that, am I doing this the right way, or am I just getting it done?
Yeah, and there was no
Is this nobody, the golden path?
Right. And nobody had written about this at all. I mean, this was complete greenfield. There were no blogs on it. There wasn't any API documentation. Nobody had really talked about this as being a viable way to get around this limitation. So to run into this was just hysterical.
That's pretty cool. So you have blogs. You've blogged about your experiences doing this sort of work. And you may be posting a demo of this solution as well.
Yeah, I'll try to get a screen cap up.
Nudge, sure. Nudge.
Yes.
So give us your blog addresses.
Well, mine is Philip Jordan. That's Philip with one L at .blogspot.com.
Okay.
Twitter?
Oh, yeah, my Twitter account. I'm Digital Moss on Twitter.
Okay.
So I blog at frazzledad.com. And I am on Twitter as Jim Holmes.
All right. Easy enough.
Easy enough.
So thanks for your time today, and I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.